Hello and welcome to Sono Kids, the podcast designed by women without kids for women without kids.
This is a place for an open and honest discussion about how it feels to live life as a child-free woman.
Today we are joined by Leanne. We're going to discuss shifting friendship circles, mental health, the ripple effect of phobias, and the beauty of cats. Welcome to the podcast, Leanne. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi.
How did you come to be a woman without kids?
I never wanted them, ever. But I just didn't know that I didn't have to have them, which sounds weird, but I just didn't know that. So when I realised, I was like, oh my God, this is it now. I can just have my life like this. Don't have to have children. So yeah,
when you say didn't know, is that kind of growing up not knowing anyone?
All my parents' friends were in couples with children. I just didn't know any grown up women that didn't have children. So I just kind of, I don't know, I just kind of assumed that's the way. Like I always saw my life as I couldn't see it past about sort of 27, 28, and I felt like it was a bit of a countdown, like that might be the time that I would have to have children, because I couldn't envisage what that would be like at all. Yeah, I felt really like stifled by it, like panicky as I started to get. I had like quite a bad boyfriend in my 20s through to just before I was 30, and I remember like one night thinking, oh God, if we had a baby together, it'd be absolutely horrendous. Like, I'm going to have to split up with him because I can't have a baby with him. But I didn't want a baby. That was the thing. I was like panicking and like scrabbling around, like, oh my God, I have to do it. But when I got to 30, my 30th birthday, suddenly I was like, I don't have to do it. That's it. And I was just like a huge weight lifted, and really happy. Like, I couldn't believe it. I felt like I'd like basically won the lottery.
Still split up with the bad boyfriend though.
Oh yeah.
Oh good.
Gone. Yeah. Gone.
I think it, do you feel like it's something that's become more normal as you've kind of, since you've come to realise that at 30 and thought, okay, I don't want this. Do you feel like now you're seeing more people around you in a similar situation or?
Now, yeah. But all of the women that I was friends with and the men as well, they've almost all of them have had children, so I felt really lonely. Basically, when I was 30, I moved to New York for 2 years, and then when I came back, everyone was like pregnant, or a few people were pregnant, and I was like, you know, especially when you come back from being away, you kind of sort of lost the flow of your social life anyway, but it's just never been the same. It was like at that point, everyone just disappeared. More or less. So I'm 44 now, but I would say from age 32 till now, I've probably managed to make, it's quite hard to make new friends in your 30s.
It is.
I've managed to make maybe like 5 new female friends, and none of them have children. And so it does feel normal.
When you're getting back from New York, because it's not like you had one person announcing it after the other, which is what can happen.
Yeah.
You came back after being away for 2 years, and all of a sudden, a whole friendship circle felt completely different.
Yeah.
That must have felt incredibly strange, almost like maybe you weren't coming home.
Oh, yeah, it was bizarre.
Mm.
It was really bizarre. And then when I did see my friends, it would be, and not all of them, I mean, it's sort of, they had children over the following few years, but I sort of found that the normal hangouts that we'd sort of do, maybe me popping over for an evening, or it would be a lot, would be with their children. And I just felt really isolated because I couldn't, they were never really listening to me. We were never really having a proper conversation because they were just like looking at their child. Obviously, I mean, why wouldn't you be looking after your child? Yeah, I found it like really, really hard. And it would have happened anyway, whether we'd gone to America or not. But I think it was because I went away and had a leaving party at a pub, and like 50 people came. And then when I got back, I just people were kind of excited to see me for the first couple of weeks, as that's what happens. And then, you know, and that's when I started to realise that it was kind of gone. I sort of, my mum was like, oh, you need to make some friends who have got children. And I was like, I like friends. But then I did manage to find, slowly but surely, some really cool people.
I really relate to that, by the way. Like, I feel like it's a really tricky one as well, because you are so happy for your friends. They've got the children that they love and they are doing the right thing and being brilliant parents. Yet there is this part of me, the sort of, you know, whatever you want to call it, but there's part of me that has to grieve the friends I had and the way we had things. And although I would never want them to have anything other than what they want, there is such a shift in the dynamic. And I think that does take a bit of getting used to, because you do feel a little bit like you've been left behind, even though I think what I'm finding with my friends is, as years go, they kind of come back in different ways, shapes and forms, but there is something that is never quite the same again. And I think that is something that can be a little bit of a reckoning, you know?
I think the realization was, they're my priority still and I'm not theirs. And I was like, oh, that's it. Like, I'm sort of shouting into the abyss. No one's, I mean, like, they care, but it's not that same, you know, you were each other's number ones kind of thing.
I definitely felt like chosen family was sort of how I saw my friends, and yeah, you know, that we were like this one big sort of dysfunctional family of peers. And when people go and have their own families and you're not doing that, that does leave you in a with a really strange feeling of sort of abandonment, you know, for want of a better way of putting it. And yeah, kind of coming to terms with that shift. But it sounds like in your case, you actually just found the people who are sort of in the same position, like-minded women, by the sounds of it, men as well. Like,
I was shocked to lose some of my male friends as well when they had kids. It was a different thing. We didn't even stay friends. They just disappeared. The people that I've made friends with now, it's different. We're kind of friends based on like things that we like cats or pottery. Do you know what I mean? It's like that kind of thing. We've actually got things in common. I don't necessarily have anything in common with my friends apart from the fact that we just love each other. So it's sort of like a different sort of friendship. And they have come back in sort of bits and pieces, but quite a few of my friends have had like 3 kids. Staggered.
So that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
A long it's taken.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I was ever like resentful, or I don't think I wasn't resentful. I was just sort of a bit shell-shocked. I think it was actually before that had happened that my mum had said, if you don't want to have children, you should start sort of sniffing about for other people that aren't having children. And I was just like so confident I wouldn't need to.
So your mum never gave you any kind of grief, or she never put pressure on you to have kids?
No. And actually, when I was about 35, I got the closest I ever have felt to wanting to have children. I would even go as far as to say, in fact, I will say, because I said it to myself at the time, so I know it must have been true, I was like 60% no and 40% yes, which is mad because I don't even want children. I didn't want them, but I just felt like it must be a biological thing that like tricks you. And I was just sort of fighting against it. And I was really upset. Sort of, you know, I was being a bit like, oh, you know, the 40% of me still got to mourn and that kind of thing. But, and I thought about donating an egg to someone, or like donating eggs to someone who couldn't have children. And then someone was like, you just want a young Leanne to turn up at your house in 18 years' time, knock on the door and you can be best friends. That's what you want.
Can I ask you something? Yeah, I'm really interested in that feeling of, oh, maybe I want them. Can you remember how it felt?
Like, looking back now, I'm like, I don't know what that was. But it felt like a need to have my own child, even though I didn't want one. I've got no idea what was going on. All I can think it was the biological clock thing, and that's real, because it was absolutely bizarre. I remember I was crying to my mum about it. I was really upset. I was like, everyone's got children. I think there was a bit of pressure from everyone else having children as well. I was like, everyone's having children and, you know, I think I should have children. She was like, Leanne, when you were 8 years old, you told me you weren't going to have children. And so I've just always assumed you weren't going to have children, and not everyone needs to be parents, you know. And she was like, you know, so-and-so's got a friend who's got a daughter who's like a camp mum, you know, could be a camp mum or something like that. And I was like, oh, and that was actually the end of it. It ended there, like when my mum was just like, almost like, pull yourself together. You've never wanted children. That was it. It was over. So I'm afraid I can't really elaborate that much. It was really weird.
I can relate to that. Mum says, you didn't want them in the first place. What are you worrying about? All of a sudden, all that feeling has gone. Yep, I can completely,
yeah, completely relate to that.
It's really nice to be in a position where you don't get the added pressure from a parent. I think that's something that I've also been lucky with. My mum didn't pressure me to have a grandchild, because I think if I'd had that on top of my feelings, it would have just made it really difficult to make that decision. Right. And actually, you can just feel free.
I do sort of, my friend and I were talking about it. Actually, one of my really good friends, one of my best friends, hasn't got children as well. We're sort of like, every now and then, we're like, we say to each other, we feel like it's like a secret that people don't realise. Like, no one actually says the best thing ever is not having children, but I feel like it is. And there's probably 2 or 3 days a week where I'm like, what a great decision. I haven't got children. This is amazing. I love it. It's just so weird. I just think, yeah, people don't pass that on. It is true, though. It's like really, really amazing not having children.
It's a beautiful way to put it, that it's a secret that no one knows. Because I think, like you said, you didn't know anyone growing up in that position. It doesn't feel like it's an option.
I've also got quite a lot of, got a phobia, got OCD, as it turns out, got ADHD, all this stuff. And if I'd have had children, it would have been an absolute nightmare. It would have just, I mean, I'm sure I would have passed mental health. They would have experienced my mental health. I've got no idea how that would have impacted them. I would have been run ragged, disorganized, miserable. It's just not for me. It just doesn't matter, you know?
What do you think some of the best things about not having kids are?
Well, for me personally, mine are quite specific, I suppose, to me, but I love not having to lend my brain to anyone. Like, and, you know, sorry to all of the children that I know, you're all lovely, but I find it really hard to sit for more than like 5 minutes and like play with the child, because I'm just a bit bored, because it's really hard for me to just give my full attention to them, and because I've got other stuff that I want to be thinking about, and I don't want to be tied down, like mentally, physically. For me, that's the best thing, is that I feel like quite free, and I sort of feel quite happy that I've not brought anyone into the world, because it's like a bit of a nightmare. Growing up, it's hard. I found it really hard. Friends are hard. Children are mean. I'm delighted to not bring anyone into the world that's going to experience that. And this is like quite grim, but I think if I had children, I would spend my whole life worrying about dying and then leaving them.
Mm.
It would just taint my whole life. I don't think I would be able to have a child and then just be like, oh, cool, off you go to the... Like, I'd be that parent sitting outside the pub in the car waiting for them. I don't think I would be happy. I think I'd be, like, tormented by not being able to make sure that their life was perfect. And also, I mean, touch wood, I don't have children being sick all over the house, which is... I've got a phobia of being sick, and my friends, some of the stories that I hear, I'm just like, oh.
I reckon, God, that would be a difficult one to overcome. With
Yeah, I've got a couple of friends who have got the phobia, and it's really, really hard.
need a really solid husband to step in that case.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. I'm interested in how you have known that you haven't wanted children since you were about 8. Well, that's when you told your mum that you said, I don't want kids. And actually how you think it would have preoccupied your mind about dying when you had children. And also, I feel like your body always knew that you didn't want children. Yeah. And actually, as you've grown up, realised, oh, yes, I can't be around and play with kids in the way that they need. And that's okay, because I've made this decision not to have children.
Mm.
Does that feel right?
Yeah, I think I couldn't have really understood when I was younger that I would have been scared of dying. I wasn't scared of dying when I was younger. I was absolutely terrified of throwing up. And that was the main focus of my life, was just don't throw up, don't throw up. So that's what I was always focusing on. So it really started with that.
Right.
It's like, perfect. That's one way to bypass all of this. When I was like a kid, I felt weirdly like quite trapped in family life. I had a really nice life. Like, my parents are lovely. My sister's gorgeous. I love her so much. But I felt really trapped. And my sister would be sick sometimes. Like, she got travel sick and stuff. And I just felt so suffocated all the time, never knowing when it was going to happen. And, you know, at primary school, all these children, it's like they're just like ticking vomit time bombs. Do you know what I mean? I would be sitting there in class watching all of them. Does he look pale? Does she look this? Like, that was my sort of main reason. And then as I got older and older and older, as it turns out, absolutely, I was not meant to have children. Even my mum said, she was like, some people just aren't meant to have children. You know, I feel a bit guilty around children. I try really hard to like give them my all. Mm. I feel a bit weird because I think, wow, there must have been adults when I was younger who weren't that interested in me. And I trusted because they were adults, they were interested in me. And I felt a bit let down for when I was little that some people weren't that interested in me, and I feel bad maybe for other children that I haven't got like that absolute, you know, like when I see people like rush to a baby when someone, I'm just like empty, just nothing. And it's just, I feel, yeah, a bit guilty, a bit weird. And it also annoys me when people think that when you don't have children that you hate children. Actually, I'm quite lucky. My friend's children, they're growing up now and they're kind of pretty cool. The kind of, I can have conversations with them. My godson really loves cats. So he's come over and hung out with the cats. So now that they're all getting older, I like this bit.
Something that someone said to me when we began making this podcast was, after 40, it all got a lot easier not having children and making that choice, because they weren't surrounded by the toddlers and the children. And actually, as the children have got older, they've begun to have these amazing relationships with the young adults that their friends, their best friends birthed. You can be a friend to their children when you can have those conversations. It's okay to not feel comfortable with kids necessarily. I know I don't. I feel bad as to how terrible I am with kids sometimes, you know. And I worry that friends take it personally, like that I don't like their kids, but actually it's just total awkwardness.
Yeah.
Not knowing what to do. Did you grow up with many children around? Like, was it a big family or?
No, it was just my sister and I. Obviously we had loads of friends and my parents got loads of friends, so I was hanging out with their kids, but we didn't have a big family with lots of like baby cousins and stuff like that. I didn't like dolls. I wanted to always play with boys' toys. I didn't, you know, pretend to get married. I didn't, like, in the games. I liked other children when I was a child, but I didn't like babies. I didn't like younger children. I do think it's a lot to do with the vomit thing.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah, that's so, I'm really interested in that, but we're not talking about phobias. We're talking about children.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've seen a doctor. And it's sort of kind of a bit to do with having ADHD. Apparently sometimes sort of experiences can land in a weird way when you're younger. And so for me, that's obviously what happened. And he said that sort of the terror that I thought I felt at primary school was actually legitimate terror. So I was terrified of the children every single day. Something that I could never bear the thought of, and the idea of being a mother was being asleep and then being woken up in the middle of the night by an unwell child. Like, I just don't think I would ever have slept. I just don't think I could have dealt, I just couldn't have dealt with any of it at all. I think it is all tied into definitely my sort of mental health experiences being younger.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I still just don't think I wanted them. And that's it.
I think you're painting yourself as someone that really knows themselves.
Absolutely.
Eventually.
And yeah.
That's a very, very strong place to come from, because it means you make decisions that are right for you rather than what society indicates is what we're supposed to do or what other people are doing, the sort of peer pressure of, oh, my friends had kids, maybe I should just have them, you know. There's something quite nice about knowing what you want.
I think what's quite interesting is that I've met like a fair amount of older women, let's say 4 or 5. I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but for such a specific thing, it's quite a lot. Sort of over, say, the last 15 years, we've got talking about me not having kids, and I've said, you know, I haven't wanted kids, and they have kids, and they've said, I wish I didn't have children. I love my children, but if I'd have known that I didn't have to have children, I just wouldn't have had them. And I sort of feel like you can be like a place where someone can sort of land that secret and get it off their chest, because you understand, you know. And I think there's a lot of people who have obviously had children and might have been more like me, but I was just absolutely nowhere. I was just not going to let it happen, you know. But I do like that no one, because I'm 44 now, no one like asks me, which is brilliant, because
that's
like constant. I mean, oh, you're going to change your mind. I'm not going to change my mind. Oh, you will. Oh, just wait. And it's like, my God, it's just like navigate. It was like 10 years of that. It's finally over. So I'm happy about that.
And you're in a relationship. You've been in a long-term relationship for a long time.
Yeah.
They see you're in a happy relationship. You've been together a long time and really struggle to accept that you still don't want kids.
Yeah. Well, my partner's got kids older, so I haven't had to do any of the, like, gross stuff that I just definitely couldn't do.
Have you had to take on a step-parenting role?
Not really.
No,
not really. I actually think I might have liked it. Because it's like, because like I said, I felt suffocated in the family. I almost feel like as a step-parent, because I was removed, I actually might have been able to deal with things a bit easier, because it's not like so close to me, but I haven't really had the opportunity to with the situation.
No.
But I probably would have been quite happy with it, I think.
Yeah.
But also maybe a bit bored. I think the longer you go on without children, the more you're like, I can't be in here, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And I think it's become really easy to just dismiss women that have chose not to have kids as selfish, but arguably if you've chose that, then you actually have every right to be selfish.
I've been called selfish a couple of times. People have just sort of said it. One of them was religious, so but yeah, people have got an opinion. I haven't got an opinion. Well, I have got opinions, but I would never walk up to someone with, you know, 3 children and go, well, I've done that. Oh, do you know this? You know, I've never, like, but for some reason, if you haven't got children, people like feel that you're, I think it's a bit like, I've noticed when people are pregnant, they're almost like public property. Like, it's awful. I see people going up to my friends and just touching them. And I just think that's awful. And when you haven't got children, people just like dig, dig, dig. Or like if you've got one child and people, oh, when are you going to have another one? It's like that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? People have got they're not shy to ask. And they're never going to understand the answer, really, normally, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the people asking are exactly the people that don't get it.
Yeah.
And don't really deserve the answer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's an assumption that everyone's the same as well, I find sometimes when you are talking to some parents of who really wanted children and have them, and it's been this amazing experience of developing unconditional love for a baby, and that's wonderful. But there is an assumption that, oh, you can't believe you're not going to do this. You're going to miss out. It's the most amazing thing. And like, that's not going to be everybody else's dream. And having a baby isn't a universal experience. It can't be. Nothing is.
I just can't imagine what it feels like, apart from my weird blip, where I think I was just more, I don't know, I think I was just worried about not doing it. It wasn't like I wanted it. I've got friends that love birth and everything like that. And I just, I'm always like in like wonderment, like, wow, what does it feel like to want a baby? Like, I just can't imagine what it might feel like to want to reproduce yourself.
What do you love about your life?
Okay, I really love my cats. That's, I don't know, some people might say it's because I've got all the love to give because I haven't got a child. I really like them. It's just because they're really cute. They're funny. I wasn't allowed cats as a kid. So, you know, it's, I love that. I love, belong to a pottery studio. We kind of all run it together. Any time of the day, I can just go. The relationship that I'm in, my partner's not particularly like, oh, we should do this together. We need to do that. We just do our own thing. So I feel really supported by him. But I really feel quite free to just, I don't feel suffocated anymore, basically. I feel as close to how I need to feel, how I needed to feel when I was little.
Finding a community is such a huge thing as an adult, to kind of come across in your 30s or 40s and develop, yeah, build it purposely in your 30s or 40s as well.
Yeah, that actually has been huge for me. I'm a photographer and my hobby was always photography. So I always thought, oh, I've got a hobby and my hobby is my job and all. But pottery's been my first hobby as an adult. It's really, really nice. It's not something I expected to happen. I think it's probably the equivalent of all my friends. They started making mum friends and I was like, oh my God, I thought you were coming back, but you've got new friends.
Friends from school. The parents.
Yeah, they've got like all the jokes about the playground and the picking up and they watch Motherland and it's hilarious. And I'm like,
what?
Yeah, exactly. It was like, well, look, I've got my pottery jokes. So, and then I did read an article. It was an article basically saying that all her friends were coming back and then suddenly they all disappeared again because they became grandparents. And so I'm just like, do you know what? I'm just going to brace myself for it. It's fine. I actually made a friend on a cat forum.
That's great.
Yeah. Brilliant. And we are friends. She lives in North London. She's got like 7 cats. I never would have thought that would have happened.
She sounds great.
Yeah, she's great. No children.
Cats are a very independent creature.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite symbolic, really.
It is. I don't think I could have a dog. It's just it's a step too close to a child for me. So the cats are, I mean, I love how needy, I've got Abyssinians, I love how needy they can be. They live in the house because we live really close to the A12. I love it when they all just want to like come and cuddle me. And then if I want to go out, they just go to sleep. Everyone's happy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for asking, mate.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Managing having children while managing OCD, ADHD, and a vomit phobia, which just sounds so difficult. Actually, the thought of having a child, how would you cope with all of that?
Yeah, it's another avenue that you realise, maybe for me, this would be something that really could send me over the edge rather than make my life more complete. I also think it's really weird how many people come in and say, I didn't play with dolls, I wasn't interested in babies, I wasn't interested in younger children. Because I definitely feel that. I feel like as a kid, I wasn't interested in Barbies and dolls or anything overtly maternal. Mm. And it's something that you kind of maybe just think is a coincidence. But actually, a lot of people have come to make this decision rather than it be something that happened.
Yeah.
Did kind of have that experience as a kid.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's known since she was 8 years old that she didn't want to have a baby. And to carry that decision through, in spite of the trip to New York, having been through that where close friends have children sort of one by one, to come back and actually the whole social circle is now adjusted and you've been out of that. That's a big shift. And to still maintain that sense of, apart from the what she calls a blip when she was 35 of thinking, oh, maybe I do want them. She's even through that kind of shift when she got back from America, that's, you know, she still held on to that. Didn't become a pressure necessarily.
Yeah. Thank you again, Leanne.
Thanks, Leanne.
So No Kids podcast is created by Joe Ridley and Louise Cotton and recorded at Pirate Studios in Hackney Wick, with editing by Joe Ridley, audio support from Rich Martin and Ross Flight, audio mastering by Edie Martin, production support from Claire Amasamy, and music from Stephen Pack.
And if you enjoyed this, please share.